today.
We mentioned yesterday with regard to the laws of Nefilas Apayim, when it comes to Tachnun, that the Ramah told us, which of course we paskin like, that the person will lean with the tefillin on the opposite hand of the tefillin, and then when the time when the person's not wearing them, lean on the left side. Not everyone holds, of course, like the words of the Ramah, even though we hold like this. It's an interesting opinion of the Vilna Gaon, of the Gra. It says, V'yafilu la'gra the sover de'ha'ikar k'machaber de'tamid al-smol. According to the Gra, he holds similar to the words of Yosef Cairo, who apparently holds that you always lean on your left side, which apparently means even when a person's wearing tefillin on that arm, Mikol Makom, Im Spalel, the Beis HaMedrash, the Olam Nohagin Kirama. Let's say you hold like the Gra, but everyone else in the Shul holds differently. Kol Makom Asul Shanos Mishum Lotis Godet. Person is not even allowed to lean on a different arm because of the issue of that possibly people will see you doing something different than others, and therefore will give the perception that the Torah is split into more than one Torah, God forbid. It's brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos, quoting, we just read in the Mishnah Berura, the Minhag Hagra Hayalipo Tamid Al Yad Smol, that the Vilna Gaon held, always lean on the left side. V'chein Nachon Api Sifri Kabbalah, he has support to his words. Ach Ka'amor Mish, however, that which we said, that the entire world is nohei kurama, v'eno shanos meminik zeh, that we don't change this custom. Achayu shenagu. Interesting, he brings down in the Sefer, in the Mishmeres Shalom, that there's some people that hold like the Gra, that in the place of, where typical, where we lean as the Ramah holds, lasos kem pshara, that they do some type of a compromise when they're wearing the tefillin. Even though they normally, as lefties, would still lean on their left arm, what would they do? Vayinoflim apayim kishtei yadeim kruchin zeh b'zeh. While everyone's leaning on their right side, what they would do is they'd be leaning on both arms. And what would they be doing? They would place both their hands folded one over the other. Ukshapilim bizroam hoyminichim yad yamin milamal of yad small tachas yad yamin. So because they would want everyone to look like he would want to get the impression that he's leaning on the right side like everyone else, so he puts his right hand over his left hand, even though he holds like the Gra, that he would normally lean on his left side, even though there's tefillin on them, and he would lean on his right arm, but really supporting the very bottom on his left. And that's what he would do. And he said that kushein tefillin bizroam, when there's be no tefillin, some have the custom hayaminichim yaminim lamala yad small mata, that they would just do everything in the reverse. Even though certainly this is not something which we paskin like, but it's an interesting different minhag that is brought down. The Mechaber then continues and discusses what happens after Tachlon, even though there's a lot more that we will be discussing when it comes to this very powerful, special tefillah. Discusses the idea of Ashrei in Lamatzeach, which of course is the end of Shachris. He says, "V'tam she'omrim shuv Ashrei." The question is, why do we say Ashrei again? We just said it in Sukkot Zimra. So just a few minutes later, after the Amidah, we have to say it a second time. So he quotes the words of the Rokeach and the Kolbo, which actually quotes the Gemara in Brachos, that Kol Omer Tehilu David Gimel Pa'amim B'chol Yom Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. A person who recites the Ashrei Tefillah three times, but by reciting this particular kapitel this many times, you'll be guaranteed a portion in the world to come. Of course, you do that twice in Shachris, and once at the beginning of Mincha service. But one could still ask the kasha. The question is, if we have to say it three times, why do we have to say it particularly at that moment in time? We can say Ashrei maybe one at Maariv. Why do we have to say Ashrei immediately after the Amidah, right after the Shemoneh Esrei, and after Tachlin? But Tom, and the reason for this, as it's brought down, is as follows. The time she omrim davka acher tefillah shachris lefi shespalanu lanu mazon hanefesh. Because when it comes to davening, a person could use a metaphor and compare that to a person who is satiating their souls. That it's a spiritual experience by being engaged with reciting the Kriya Shema, tefillah, talis, tefillin, all of these things brings a person to yichud Hashem Yisbarach, which unifies a person spiritually to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the avaso and our love to Him. L'chein anu mevakshim ata shiyashpia lanu b'chasto mazon haguf. And therefore, immediately after, we've already tapped into the spiritual elevation, we're able to now afterwards focus on mazon haguf, our own physical needs. Shitin lanu achilanu b'ito, that Hashem should give us food at the proper time. V'yazim l'chol ish parnasasa, that everyone should be able to have their parnasa, their livelihood, as the pasuk says, posecha shadecha. But the starting point is spiritual, then physical. If a person would only have the physical, then it would be meaningless. But if a person is fortified with this level of spirituality, of mazon hanefesh, then their mazon haguf will have a completely different meaning as well. It again continues and discusses the significance of this paragraph of Ashrei. The question is, out of the two Ashreis, which one is more important? So it's brought down that Shiyesh Lezahir Ma'od Lomer Ashrei. A person has to be extremely careful when they say it. Bikvana Atzuma Yoser Mehamira Rishona Shel Pesuk Zimra. That a person should be even more careful reciting this particular Ashrei for the reason we just said than even the one which is said previously in Pesuk Zimra. He says, V'chein timsa b'zohar kadosh, it's brought down in the Zohar, and he says, V'lo kimo she'enenu ro'os. Unfortunately, that's not what our eyes see. Rabim sarim mekavanas asher v'otzion. Many people divert their attention away from the end of davening. V'enu samim libam klal el hakavana v'al dikto hatevot. A person is not careful and medactic in all the words, and they don't have the proper kavana specifically at the end of the davening. And therefore, because of that, he says you should be very careful when it comes to that part of the davening, not to just overlook it. Now, what's the idea of Lamatzeach? He says the reason for Lamatzeach, we look in the Siddur, actually tells us in the article that it's Kapitel Chaf, it's the 20th paragraph. But the reality is the Gemara tells us that the first two paragraphs of Tehillim are really one. The first two paragraphs are really one. So in essence, even though it is paragraph 20, it's really paragraph 19. The Talmud Miras Lamatzeach Yanucha, the reason why we say this paragraph Lamatzeach gives a couple of reasons. The East of a Medrash, what does the Medrash tell us? That there's Yudches Mizmarim Omer David, that David HaMelech recited 18 Mizmarim, again, understand that Lamatzeach is really number 19, and then afterwards he instituted this paragraph of Ad Yanucha Hashem, that Hashem should answer us. Keneged Yudches Brachos Shadim Isfalo, which corresponds to the Shemona Esrei, that after the 18, we say that Hashem should be mekabel and accept all of our tefillos. You can even say nowadays, even though the Gemara really says the first two paragraphs are one, but maybe you can say that they're all separate. Paragraph 20 makes sense. Nowadays we don't have 18 brachos, we have 19, so therefore it would still fit paragraph number 20, that the inyan of Lamatzeach is saying that Hashem should answer all of the previous 19 brachos that we recite in our Shemona Esrei. The Gam, and he says another thing. Bimnei shemidaber me'inyani haketz. It talks about the ketz, about the futuristic time of the Messianic era, as the pasuk says, Yishlach Ezrecha, Hoshea Shem Mishicho. And why do we say it then? Because it's a segue for the next paragraph. Achein Omrim Oso Kodam Ubalatzion, which also discusses this. And when we look at Lamatzeach, interestingly enough, also Ubalatzion, it mentions Yaakov's name. And why is it when it comes to the paragraph of Lamatzeach, which is asking Hashem, that Hashem should answer our tefillos, acknowledging the 19 or the 18 brachos that we said before, why is it specifically Elokei Yaakov, only God of Yaakov, not Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak? So he says as follows, Elokei Yaakov v'davka, v'lo shar avos. The reason why I don't mention any other of our forefathers, l'fi shi Yaakov v'in tarach harbe begidl banav, the tarach harbe l'farsem v'agiyat saras rabos, v'kodesh baruch matzim ekulam. That what we're doing is we're tapping into the life of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu did not live a very easy life. He had a very difficult life. In fact, that's what he told Paro when he was asked about his life. Yaakov Avinu had challenges. He had challenges with his children. His child was robbed from him that he thought was killed, and constant challenges throughout his entire life, and difficulties, and terrible tircha and sar. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu ended up being able to be spared from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We turn to Elokei Yaakov and say that just as you, Hashem, responded and answered Yaakov's tefillos, so too, Mirat Hashem, Hashem should answer all of our tefillos as well.